says for that reason, the sidewalk at Church Street will remain closed until Monday. And it's not clear when the intersection of Neal and Church Streets will reopen, since Ameren has to shut off a gas main under the street. Public Works crews are also busily clearing the scene. Fire officials say it could be days before a cause is determined, but there were no injuries. The Metropolitan Building was built around 1878, probably before there were paved streets in town. Former city mayor and local history buff Daniel McCullum says the Metropolitan Building was an example of Italianate architecture, a brick building style popular during the middle to late 1800s.
It was the finest surviving Italianate building, probably in the Twin Cities, but certainly in Champaign. And its loss is like a smile with missing a very large front tooth.
The Metropolitan Building was originally a commercial building. Champaign City planner T.J. Blakeman says the top floors were used as a meeting space for organizations like the Masons or the Oddfellows. Champaign Central High School's basketball team used to practice in the building during the early 1900s. One of the building's owners, Bob Balsrud, said they put their heart and souls into restoring the building. Balsrud said the owners were planning on putting in 12 apartments and offering retail space on the first floor. The union that represents workers at the Pontiac Correctional Center says the state didn't meet a legal obligation to bargain with them before going ahead with plans to close the facility. The lawsuit filed today by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees seeks an injunction regarding the Pontiac prison. AFSCME spokesman Anders Lindahl says the state failed to bargain despite the union's repeated demands. Governor Rob Blagojevich and the Department of Corrections plan to close the prison by the end of the year, saying the state will save $4 million a year. It will also take 570 jobs out of Pontiac. An IDOC spokeswoman says she can't comment on pending litigation. Raises that Champaign County board members approved for themselves 2 years ago will take effect next month. The new rate is $100 per meeting, up from the old rate of $45, but that will only take effect for some board members, not others. County officials say it's a mistake that can't be fixed. AM580's Jim Meadows has more.
When they approved the raises 2 years ago this month, county board members didn't know about a state law requiring a six-month wait between passage of the raises and the start of the term in which they take effect. So the raises beginning next month only go towards county board members elected or re-elected last Tuesday. Members elected in 2006 will have to wait until after the 2010 election for their raises. Finance Committee Chairman Brendan McGinty, who will be getting a raise, says he doesn't think anyone on the county board is comfortable with the two-tier pay arrangement.
What an unfortunate situation. We can't rescind it. We can't change it. We can only change it for the next board term, 2010. So for the next 2 years at least, for the next 2 years only, I should say, there will be that difference.
At Thursday night's Finance Committee meeting, member Alan Nudo suggested that county board members getting raises, including himself, voluntarily give the extra money back to the county. The idea did not seem to have many takers. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A survey of Indiana college students find that they remain slightly below the national average in binge drinking. Indiana's Coalition to Reduce Underage Drinking surveyed more than 8,000 students on 14 campuses. It found that over the last 2 years, the percentage of Indiana college binge drinkers dropped from 45 to 44. The national average remained at 47%. Binge drinking is defined as 5 or more drinks for a male and 4 or more drinks for a female in a 2-hour period. 71% of all students reported alcohol use within the past 30 days. It's 5:33.
Support for WILL comes from Commerce Bank. A friend to business for more than 143 years, their mission continues to be a dependable leader providing a safe place for deposits. Commerce remains a friend during challenging times. Commerce Bank.
And now here's Mike Solo with weather.
Thanks, Jeff. It's still 43 on Friends Plaza and 42 degrees at Willard Airport. And while we do have a little bit of light precipitation, mainly across the northern third of Illinois and now pushing into the northwest corner of Indiana, probably the bigger story is the wind speed, which in many locations is gusting up and over 20 miles per hour, up to 30 mile per hour gust in the Moline area with light rain there. And on the radar, again, we have that little the leading band of rain that is rolling through northwestern Indiana right now. And then the center of the storm and the counterclockwise spin is centered around the low-pressure area that's in northeastern Iowa. So across the extreme northwest corner of Illinois and southwestern Wisconsin and, well, most of Iowa right now, there is some light snow falling. Maybe even a little bit more vigorous snow back across central Iowa. And so as the low tracks to the east, that precipitation will move also to the east. But we have a big gap in between what's moving through northwestern Indiana and what's moving into northwestern Illinois, and some drier air wrapping in that. So we don't expect any heavy precipitation, but we could have a brief shower or maybe even some snow flurries in the Champaign-Urbana area tonight, below down to 35 degrees. A cloudy, breezy, and cool day tomorrow with occasional sprinkles possible. The high only 43, wind out of the west 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a chance for a shower or a few flurries, the low 33, mostly cloudy Sunday, the high 44, and mostly cloudy on Monday, the high 46. It's 43 degrees at 535.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. There's a popular set of children's books called A Series of Unfortunate Events. The books are about the adventures of three orphans, and in these books, basically nothing good ever happens to them. In this half hour, we're going to tell you three intertwined tales from the global financial world. And also in these tales, nothing good ever happens. But in the end, we are all a bit wiser.
The reports you're about to hear are part of a collaboration.